As I shared earlier, we have our monthly time where we have a different person in the church talk a little bit about their faith. We started doing this last summer. We did it for the whole summer. And we decided it was so powerful to have the chance to actually talk about faith, to hear one another, that we would do it on a monthly basis on the first Sunday of the month. And so we try to do that every month. Today we are going to be hearing from Marta Stothers, as she's going to be sharing about her experience of God, in particular this summer when she was doing mission work in Northern Ireland. And I'll let her tell you a little bit more about that as she talks about this experience. It is a unique time. In fact, we come to church and faith communities because we want to talk about faith, and yet, ironically, we don't always talk about it. We hear other people talk about it, but we might not talk about it ourselves. And so the hope with this, as we do this, is to speak of faith so that we also might acquire the language we need in order to speak of our own faith. And so this morning, as we listen for God's word through Marta's experience, I also want to invite you to listen for God's word in our scriptures today. They come from Leviticus chapter 25 and Luke chapter 4. It is the continuation of what we talked about last week when we began talking about Sabbath, the day of rest that God commands every 7 days. Rest not just to avoid work, but rest as the vocation for what it means to be human. So listen for the word of God. Our first reading comes from Leviticus chapter 25. Leviticus is a book that is a series of teachings. It begins with a verse saying that God called Moses into the tent of meeting and said this, and the rest of the book is supposedly what God said to Moses, for Moses to teach the people that they might live free and whole after being slaves in Mitzrayim. Leviticus chapter 25. The Lord spoke to Moses on Mount Sinai, saying, "Speak to the people of Israel and say to them, when you enter the land that I am giving you, the land shall observe a Sabbath for the Lord. 6 years you shall sow your field, and 6 years you shall prune your vineyard and gather in their yield. But in the seventh year, there shall be a Sabbath of complete rest for the land, a Sabbath for the Lord. You shall not sow your field or prune your vineyard. You shall not reap the aftergrowth of your harvest or gather the grapes of your unpruned vine. It shall be a year of complete rest for the land. You may eat what the land yields during its Sabbath, you, your male and female slaves, your hired and your bound laborers who live with you, for your livestock also, and for the wild animals in your lands, all its yields shall be for food. You shall count off 7 weeks of years, 7 times 7 years, so that the period of 7 weeks of years gives 49 years. And then you shall have the trumpet sounded loud on the 10th day of the 7th month, on the Day of Atonement, and you shall have the trumpet sounded throughout all your land. And you shall hallow the 50th year, and you shall proclaim liberty throughout the land to all its inhabitants. It shall be a jubilee for you. You shall return every one of you to your property, and every one of you to your family. That 50th year shall be a jubilee for you. You shall not sow or reap the aftergrowth or harvest the unpruned vines. For it is a jubilee. It shall be holy to you, and you shall eat only what the field itself produces. In this year of jubilee, you shall return every one of you to your property. When you make a sale to your neighbor or buy from your neighbor, you shall not cheat one another. And when you buy from your neighbor, you shall pay only for the number of years since the jubilee. The seller shall charge you only for the remaining crop years. If the years are more, you shall increase the price. And if the years are fewer, you shall diminish the price. For it is a certain number of harvests that are being sold to you. You shall not cheat one another, but you shall fear your God. For I am the Lord your God." And from the gospel according to Luke, in chapter 4, Jesus returns to his hometown of Nazareth after much teaching and healing. And we pick up where Luke tells us that when Jesus came to Nazareth, where Jesus had been brought up, Jesus went to the synagogue on the Sabbath day, as was his custom. And Jesus stood up to read, and the scroll of the prophet Isaiah was given to him. And Jesus unrolled the scroll and found the place where it was written, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because the Lord has anointed me to bring good news to the poor. The Lord has sent me to proclaim release to the captives and recovery of sight to the blind, to let the oppressed go free, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor." And Jesus rolled up the scroll and gave it back to the attendant and sat down. And the eyes of all in the synagogue were fixed on him. And then Jesus began to say to them, "Today, this scripture has been fulfilled in your hearing." And all spoke well of Jesus and were amazed at his gracious words that came from his mouth. And they said to one another, "Isn't this Joseph's son?" This is the word of the Lord. As we invite Marta to come forward, I want to invite you to hold Marta in your mind's eye to offer prayers for her, gratitude for her, prayers of strength and courage, because no matter how much you get up here, it can be scary when you get up here. So we want to give thanks to God for Marta. Thanks to God for speaking to us through scripture and through life. We want to pray for God's blessing for us through the sharing of Marta, and for Marta through her sharing with us. Amen.
Okay, I'm going to trust Cameron to go like this if he can't hear me. Good morning. We have been learning about Sabbath, the concept being that God commanded us to rest as he rested after creation. We also take time during Sabbath to worship and praise God for deliverance. Years ago, Ward learned that work and worship have the same root. So our worship and our work are part of God's plan for us. From cradle to death, we must cycle work and rest. Babies work very hard learning, and then they rest with sleep. Our pattern as humans should be work as worship and Sabbath rest. Salary and earning our keep dominates this rhythm. I'm encouraging you to discover your call or vocation as your act of sacrifice to our Creator God, having nothing to do with needing to earn a living. It is related as we do well in areas that use our skills and gifts. We are happier workers if we feel that this is what we are called to do. Thinking about work as worship will help you rise above any daily grind. Remember your Sabbath rest, and include worshiping together with the body of Christ, the church. Ward died nearly a year and a half ago, and 9 months ago, I hired a life coach to consider what my work or vocational call was going to be. Ward and I spent 6 years in Belfast, Northern Ireland, but it was his call, and I went as the wife. In actuality, I loved it, and it enhanced our marriage. And wonderful national health prepared me for the caregiving that I was to do when we returned home. Nevertheless, I didn't know if Ireland was going to be a part of my future or just part of my past life together. I can say for the foreseeable future, Northern Ireland will be a part of my work and rest cycle. I affiliated with Commission Ministers Network in June and left for Belfast after being commissioned by Beth Beattie and this church. I stayed for 2 months with Ethel White Ethel is the chairman of the board for Jubilee Farm, a cooperative farm. The managing director is Johnny Hansen, who grew up in a missionary family and spent high school in Malawi owning goats and turkeys. Since age 11, he wanted to be a farmer. So at age 35, he has made his dreams. He got a PhD from Oxford and he studied snow leopards in Nepal. Many Northern Irish go to Nepal as missionaries, but that's another story. Jubilee Farm is the first community-owned farm in Northern Ireland. Its purpose is to demonstrate creation care as a Christian ethos by raising and caring for animals and a market garden. 156 shareholders own the farm. They come and hang out or they can work. They can bring their friends and buy veggie boxes or buy into the pig club. The principles are organic. We teach children from schools and adults from church outings. We also help the health trust by bringing in care clients who work with the animals and plants to restore mental or physical health. We also help asylum seekers who cannot work for pay but need to work as they wait for their cases to be heard. We also help retirees. Ian Miller, a retired civil engineer. Ethel White, a retiring agronomist. Jenny, a retired doctor. Ruth, a horse trainer who does our books. And me, a retired project manager. I told you most of this before I left, and I left a newsletter to explain my plans. Monty asked me to share what God showed me during his summer ministry. I was very happy to be there. I learned how to plant lettuce and tomato plants and how to tie up a cucumber plant. I lost 6 to 8 pounds by moving towards a plant-based diet. I watched the BBC special on the problems with plastic waste. I watched a baby goat being born and watched 4 of them prance around and eat grass on the second day of their life. God provided others to help me with the farm expansion for a barn and a renovation for an office and intern housing. Ian Miller lives locally and is an experienced civil engineer. Another shareholder, Robert Robinson, is an electrical engineer and said he would do the mechanical electrical drawings pro bono. That means for free. He also said his father's retired and has a digger. The architect we hired said he would buy half a goat and gave us a 45% discount on his fee. We found a barn builder who came and said, "See that farm over there? His 100-acre property." I didn't know if I could do the job Johnny Hansen asked of me, but I was willing to try. Besides knowing nothing about farming, they work in metric. God is good, and a team was built. The 2 weeks I was farm sitting was when 4 goats were born. For 3 weekends, I was there alone to water and feed 20 pigs, water 7 goats, which became 11 goats, water and feed 16 turkeys, and herd 2 geese into their pen at night so they wouldn't be eaten by foxes, plus water 198 tomato plants by hand. During the week, 4 or 5 volunteers or workers were on site from 9 to 5. Ethel came to water when I told her it took me over an hour. That's a 45-minute drive each way for her. God showed me that he loves me abundantly to serve in a country needing reconciliation and love. I counted up 70 old friends I saw during the 2 months in Northern Ireland, including Arlena Foltz, who flew over from her trip to London. God allowed me to intervene in an injustice and be an encourager. God allowed me to use my project management skills. God showed me Christian community at Northumbria, where they pray together 4 times and eat together in between. I was on retreat for 2 days contemplating Ecclesiastes 3, a time for everything. In conclusion, I don't know whether my trip back to Northern Ireland was work or rest, was worship or Sabbath, but I know that it's part of my rhythm and of life, and I'm grateful for the time and opportunity. There is no retirement in the Bible, just work and rest. Look for your calling and practice work and rest as God's rhythm until He calls you home. There is ministry that you can do. Amen. Our song of response, Jesus, Savior, pilot me. Please stand if you're able.
As we get ready for that song, I want to invite you to a moment of prayer and gratitude. Silencing yourself for a second to maybe reflect on what you heard. God's call to us out of Mitzrayim to Jubilee freedom through the sharing of Marta. To give thanks for that. To pray for Marta and her continued journey. To say thank you to God for always, always showing up.